mc2jewels.com.
The Albany International Airport is presenting Above the Fray, its newest exhibition that features sculptures and photographs from Hudson Valley artist Robert Height. The show will join Height's already existing large-scale sculpture, Migration House, currently on view at the airport. Growing up in the rural South during the Civil Rights Movement, Height explores the relationship between environment and disenfranchisement in his work and focuses on themes of poverty, functionality, resilience, and community. Specifically interested in the meaning of the home, which can provide refuge from the elements and served as a protective space for aspirations. His sculptures, described as handmade habitations, are constructed out of found materials like reclaimed wood and metal. Once those objects are created into sculptures, Height then photographs them around the Hudson Valley. All of this is now on display at the Albany International Airport, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Robert Height back to the roundtable. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
It's very nice to have you on the program. I will tell you that I was traveling back from vacation on over the weekend and got a chance to see the exhibit, which I understand you have not yet gotten to see. But it is it's really fascinating. It's a beautiful use. We should note that you got to be on a flight to get in.
That's right.
Past the security gate. God knows we don't want anyone bad going in there to be among the art.
<That's>
We want
right.
to keep the terrorists away from the art.
I'm kind of hoping in the future I have security for all my art viewings.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
In this environment, in this country right now, you can't be too safe.
No. 3 ounces of some cream, you're out.
I'm out.
You're no... So how did this whole thing come about?
It actually was a pretty long process. Kathy Greenwood, who is fantastic, contacted me, I think, initially.
The director at the airport.
The director of the arts program, which is a very robust, very regionally oriented program. And she said that she thought I should make some proposal, which I did. They rejected to some degree. And we were looking at a couple of different spots for the artwork. And they were just fantastic. She and her staff, Sarah and their installer, everybody was great. But I guess they have a committee that is comprised of local notables and people of knowledge, and there was a process to go through. So the whole process started about a year ago, maybe a little more than that, and the installation's just been over the last couple months.
Now, the actual artwork had been something you'd had already completed?
Well, it's the main piece, the large piece, which is 22 feet wide, and the one that's the most content-driven, Migration House.
Yes.
You know, being in an airport, that piece was commissioned, and I repurposed an older piece and re-envisioned it and worked that. And that was probably a 6-month to a year-long project to get that ready for the airport. And see that as a major piece for me.
They look great in the airport. I find it interesting. What do you think it is that matches your work so well in the fact that, well, I mentioned in the introduction that, you know, this idea of home and providing refuge. And so the airport brings us both of those things, where we flee, but also when we come home.
Yeah. Well, I think I would sort of step toward the whole issue of migration or immigration at this point, because it's a travel point. And I don't know about you, but when I step on a plane, I have a little pit in my stomach sometimes, especially if the weather's bad. But can you imagine stepping from your known world into a chasm of unknown,
right,
and crossing an ocean in a small boat or whatever? So, you know, I don't really know much about anything, but the issue of immigration and migration has been something that I've been curious about since I was a kid, because I saw people that were displaced, and I grew up in a place that ancestry was focused on and things like that. So I've always been a bit amazed or interested in movement of people. And now is a particularly pertinent time to think about that and issues of that. So having the opportunity to put in a piece, put in my poetic two cents, is a great opportunity. It's an honor.
So given the national, international dialogue that we're having, I'm curious as to, is this piece, do you think, somehow informed by that? So another way of asking that question is, would you have created the same piece 5 years ago or 10 years ago?
Well, the piece that I repurposed was called Migration House, and it was done about 10 years ago, and it speaks a little bit to the tone or direction I take with my work, which is sort of empathetic humanistic values, sociological threats. They can tie into growing up in an area where there were descendants of slaves that had been brought across an ocean. You can make comparisons to that to a mother and child crossing the Rio Grande. All these things, I think, are connected. They're human things. So with issues like DACA and Syrian refugees, I don't pretend to know what the answers are. The numbers are amazing, that 260 million people are in flux, those kinds of things. But I just, for me, if I'm saying anything, is that an empathetic humanist approach to these things has to happen. That's not the tone coming from our government. But I think internationally, when you have things like Syria or you have huge amounts of people that have to leave their regions for environmental reasons or whatever, there needs to be infrastructure for dealing with that in hopefully human ways. What those are, that's not what I answer. But
right.
Bringing up the question maybe is what my role is.
I'm sure you know it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out why this has been something I've been thinking about lately. But I've been reading about and trying to explore this idea of empathy and the of what it is in us that allows us to empathize and to even empathize with people who are of great concern to society, like a school shooter in Florida.
Right.
So I'm curious as to in your mind, how do you incorporate that into work and to help present those questions some ideas that can help us make sense.
I love the question. I mean, I love the pivot because so much talk is about nothing, and this is the pivotal thing for human beings. You know, do we care and love each other? Is that part of our politics? Is that a part of our, you know, approach to finance and sociology? For me, at a very young age, I had these empathetic impulses. So my choice now is to try to work, be busy and occupied, or sometimes occasionally, you know, take a nap in a fetal position and weep.
it does feel great sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, fortunately, there's coffee, so I don't do that too often. But no, I don't know what the right response is, but I do know for me, it has to somehow be not intellectually trying to figure out everything in this moment, but to some degree from your own heart figuring out what, you know, your response is. It's a very strange, tricky time. And there's a lot of great things going. I do believe there's some pendulum swing. These kids from Florida coming out, you know, every once in a while there's something that kicks in again that says,
right,
okay, we're going to be okay. You know, I do believe in the arc of human beings. It's just not easy to see at the present moment. So I am a little bit issue-oriented, again, intentionally in a poetic way, not so much in an overt political way, because the one thing I'll confirm again that I know is that I don't know anything. You know, I mean...
Well, okay. I mean, I don't buy that.
I mean, it's just like,
I mean,
there are no absolutes.
No, okay. We don't know anything in that sense.
Yeah.
But you have something to say. You have something to share. As you say, you raise these questions within the art.
Yeah.
But how does one as a visual artist display empathy? How do I approach your work and see that empathy within the confines of that large structure?
Boy, you're fun, Joe. You're so fun. That's great. I mean, I think it's a little bit up to the artist to have a sincere voice, because people aren't fooled. You know, if you're trying to push something out that really isn't something that is somehow organic and true to you, I think, you know, people see beyond that. So if I make an effort, it's to do that, to be in a true voice. And then the other thing is to leave room for people to be themselves, you know, not to be so crystalline that there's not room for the viewer to move. If you're coming at, and art does this, political science do this, politicians do this, you know, if they are so crystalline, they don't leave room for people to be an individual, then what are you doing really for somebody? You know, you're not respecting the viewer. And I think you do that marvelously on the radio, by the way.
Well, thank you very much. It's interesting, isn't it, though? We sometimes within art installations or even, I think of a wine list. You try the wine and it says, you know, it'll have a description and it'll say that oak with chestnut overtones and, you know, a little bit of cantaloupe or whatever.
Right.
And you're sort of being told so that when you're told that there's a pink elephant in the room, you're going to think that there's a pink elephant in the room. Whereas in the art, even when so there's words that are used, even what I was talking about of functionality and resilience and community. But these are things, but also, yeah, you want the audience to have that room to figure out what it is to them, right?
To them. Yeah, I mean, first off, I have to back up. Your wine description was beautiful, especially cantaloupe. My favorite description of wine is skinny legs but big feet, just for the audience out there. They might use that later on.
Was your first band, wasn't it, Robert?
Yeah, that's right. But no, to answer your question, you know, sometimes if an artist is lucky enough, someone smart will write about their work, or, you know, people have information, but it is about the emotive response. So if, again, you're approaching what you do in a way that doesn't allow for that, I think the viewer does get left out, so to speak. I mean, there's a lot of different types of art and a lot of legitimate different types of art, but for me, sort of a poetic narrative that is not so described that people don't have room to move is what I'm comfortable with.
So let's talk about some of the work that you have here, because I'm Robert Height, by the way, is our guest. He has an amazing exhibit at the Albany International Airport. It's called Above the Fray. And people have some time to see this, don't they? It's, what, 3 years? Is that
the primary piece, Migration House, which is the large piece, is there till 2020. Above the Fray, I think, it comes out in October.
Okay.
Something like
so
that, or November.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're traveling.
If you're traveling.
Yeah.
Now, the idea is, because some of these are very large, aren't they?
They're getting larger all the time. I found the answer for being an artist. The more impractical you get, the better things go for you. I mean, it's like, I just started a tower piece that I'm hoping it's going to be about 24 feet high. Of course, I'm doing smaller things, but yeah, the scale of these is getting larger. So the Migration House, I think, with its pedestal is 22 feet wide. And the other pieces are more human size, sort of 6 to 8 feet. And there's four of those. And then the corresponding photographs. That's what's at Albany.
Isn't it great that, first of all, I mean, an art museum obviously fits this as well, but you got a lot of space in an airport. I mean, it's nice. It fills the space beautifully. It's a great use of that space.
It's the first time for me, really, to have, you know, I've been in a couple of museum shows or had a couple of museum shows, and but this is unique because it's a captured audience. If you come in or out of Albany, pretty much you're going to have to go through Height World right now, which is either a good or bad thing. I'm not sure. But, you know, it's Concourse A. I got to go back to Kathy Greenwood and the Albany Airport, and they're really providing a unique opportunity for artists, but also I think for audiences, because it is a bit of an atypical setup. So you know, I don't know if I understand all of what that can do, but it's certainly a nice thing and an honor. You know, we started with one piece, and there was enough enthusiasm that they expanded. And I think maybe uniquely so, maybe the first time, and I could be wrong, that they've taken the whole concourse for one artist. So it's a pretty profound thing. It's a pretty big thing for me as an individual.
So help me out as far as, I'm going to ask you the sort of quintessential chicken and egg question, but when it comes to the photography, is that always in the back of your mind when you're creating a piece?
Absolutely. Like right now, I think there's a shift getting ready to happen to work. I mean, hopefully an artist's work is cumulative in the sense that there's some evolution that takes place, and if you don't lock in or start to hack your own work, then you get the opportunity to have new ideas and evolve the work. And so what I'm hoping to do next is sort of more epic photographs that use these sculptures and maybe figures. But so the pieces I'm building now and the pieces I have been building have always had the idea of ending up in landscape, telling some type of story, having some narrative that's working. So yes, the answer to that is definitely there's an intentionality there.
There's also a geographic component, right? I mean, the place within the Hudson Valley, but you look at something like Migration House, and you have this. So, to me, it brings of an old mill,
okay.
Of something that you can see with along the river, pretty much anywhere in a town.
Yeah,
driving from New York to the Adirondacks.
I think you're thinking Americana, that you see some Americana in it.
I see some Americana, but I also see the dilapidation.
Right.
Because there's a sagging to the right, there's mm-hmm. a sagging to the left, there's a structure in the middle. There still is great form there, and yet it's been battered around.
Kind of dissect it for you a little bit,
yes.
Which is typically what I don't do. But that piece, it's got a centerpiece, which I would sort of equate in my mind, you know, as a working idea, is that represents the goal, America. And
yeah.
This is called Migration. The wings are more how you would get to America, and it has these dilapidated stairs on either side,
yes.
Hard to negotiate. So, yes, there's some symbolism in the piece that it's not even so much for the viewer. There's also a bit of a cross, you know, the base of puritanical America. So there, to me, there is, history involved in these things and narratives. Some of it as a driving force for me to do the creations. You know, it keeps me compelled and interested. Whether that story needs to be known by our viewer or not, I don't know. I hope a sensibility does that sometimes. But I don't know if that responds to your question or not.
But. It does and it doesn't.
Okay.
It's interesting because it tells me about the piece, which I find fascinating. Because the wings, as you refer to them, and for people, by the way, we have some images on our website at WMC.org, and you also go to the Albany Airport website, and you can see them there as well. So, but those wings are not created equal. Although you could probably get to that center going either way, but there would be different challenges in either way that you go.
Myriad stories, that's the whole thing, is that, you know, when I was a kid in Virginia, one of the things I was fascinated with was New Yorkers that were first generation or second generation.
Right.
So that opened up that door of the whole, diaspora and World War II. There's so many tales. The human story, to me, is very important, and when it gets divorced from politics and dehumanized and doesn't have empathy, then it's a lost thing in our culture. So that maybe is a little bit what's going on with my work, is that I grew up where I felt that there was these narratives that I could see that I had an empathetic response to. Maybe if I'm doing anything in this society, is trying to keep some poetic empathy, at least in my imagery.
So the question that I have that the part that I want to try again of
I'll try to be not difficult.
No, you're not being difficult at all. But the geography, because, and this goes to the photography as well,
mm-hmm.
because when you place these structures within within the Hudson Valley, they look like they belong. So my point was that when you see things, they're reminiscent of things that are there. You call it
Absolutely.
A nostalgia, but I see it as also a reflection of the landscape of the Hudson Valley.
Absolutely. Well, I can't believe that I increasingly fall in love with the Hudson Valley every year. I thought winters would break me, but I've gotten over that. It's so
beautiful.
Stunning. It just gives and gives and gives. So it's really, yes. Now, I have to be difficult again. If I had the resources, I might photograph a piece in a desert or in, you know, the Atchafalaya Swamp in Louisiana. I have fantasies of doing that too. But the Hudson Valley is just a great place to photograph.
Well, that's a great point too, though. Mm-hmm. And then that shows a universality to it, that migration house. Yeah, it could be in a desert. On a plain or a prairie.
It's been great. Sometimes I've had Vietnam vets see pieces, you know, almost all of them are on stilts. That's kind of symbolic about, you know, things being transitional or, you know, in flux or whatever. But, you know, Vietnam vets have looked at a piece and says that takes me back to when I was in Vietnam. You know, somebody else is that reminds me of my grandmother's house, or that again is if I can be, instigate an emotive response in someone that's connected to the present and their past, that's a pretty great thing. And, you know, I think that's what artists are supposed to do. You know, I'm not sure, but the whole thing about the Hudson Valley and placing it, that's a great advantage. And the fact that this work's being showcased as a regional artist is something that really feels great too.
Because then you have the photo of it, which was then, I guess, goes in Ulster County. Is that where you took the photo?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do you play around with that as to where it will be, what time of day you want to take the photo?
Yeah,
all
usually,
that stuff?
I mean, you know, I should thank my helpers too. There's a guy, Greg Schoenfeld, and Will Solomon, and there's lots of boys, and I have a helper, Veronica, Victoria. You know, these things take a lot of help to place. There has to be a flatbed truck. You have to get permission from a landowner. So there's a lot of people involved. But the location scouting is important. And then usually they're out there for a couple of days. And I'll photograph them in the morning, the afternoon, dusk, and then go through a process, editing process with photography.
Well, it's a beautiful exhibit. It is Above the Fray. It's the newest exhibition that features sculptures and photographs from Robert Height. The show joins the already existing large-scale sculpture Migration House and will be up for the next several months at the Albany International Airport. You can see photos and find out more information by going to our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Robert, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very
much. Thank you much, Joe. Always a pleasure.
Great thrill. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.